The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Fantasy Football Today. We got a four-man show today. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings, and Ben Gretsch. We have two main topics. We'll bounce around a little bit. We'll start with some DFS. We'll end with some DFS, give you some FanDuel and DraftKings lineups. But we're going to talk about wide receivers. Was it really? Because I made the case on Tuesday's show that it was a bad year for wide receivers. You know, maybe I wasn't. It, compared to 2018, it was. But we'll talk more about that. We'll get some takeaways from the wide receiver position. We welcome Jamie Eisenberg back from Las Vegas. Welcome back, Jamie. You were at the FSGA Awards. Is that repetitive? The FSG Awards?
No, it's FSGA Awards. The A doesn't stand for
Okay.
Right.
What is the, what does A stand for? Oh, Association. That's right.
Yeah. Fantasy Sports Gaming Association. Back,
right.
Yes, I took a red eye back just to be here for you.
Nice! And we have big news about that. Spoiler alert, Jamie won an award. We'll talk about that. Heath, thank you for calling me out on my initial thing there, my initial thing that I'm wrong about.
Well, I thought you were going to start by saying I said wide receiver was really bad last year. Heath disagreed, and actually it turns out Heath was right again.
No,
you didn't do that.
You weren't
so
right.
Okay.
You were right. It's somewhere. I would say it's somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the
middle.
I
didn't say it was a great year. I just said I don't really think it was that bad of a year.
It was pretty bad. And Ben Gretsch is here. Hello, Ben Gretsch.
How's it going? Excited to get in.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if you saw the emails that we have in today's show, but one person gives a big shout-out to Ben Gretsch, so stay tuned for that. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll read your emails. All right, we're going to start with DFS real quick, and then we'll talk mostly receivers. Then we'll come back, look at the two games, talk about some lineups. Give me one player you like in DFS. Heath, I'll start with you.
I like Derrick Henry. I think that he's not a bad play against the Chiefs run defense. I think I'm just going to play Derrick Henry and then I'll just figure the rest out around him.
Do you wonder though, if,
how do you do it?
What do you mean? How do you do it?
He's just so expensive. It's like, if you play Derrick Henry, cause you know, I have Mahomes and I had a hard enough time filling out a lineup without having at least one scrub in there. So Henry's so expensive. How do you manage it?
Well, you're either going to have to not play Mahomes or you're going to have to play one or two scrubs, but there are plenty of scrubs to play this week.
I mean, obviously Henry's been on just a historic run,
right,
with what he's done really the last four games. The game against the Chiefs in week 10, he went off,
right.
188 yards and two touchdowns. Their run defense the last 7 weeks has been pretty stout,
right,
since then, which gives.
I think probably their run defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's too hot right now. And I don't really, like, their run defense has been better. They really don't want to get beat over the top. And that happened once last week. I think they're more worried about A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
I think they're
more worried about A.J. Brown?
More worried about A.J. Brown.
You said this the last time when we talked about Derrick Henry. I don't think they're more worried about A.J. Brown.
I'd rather make sure Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown don't beat you if you have the Chiefs offense. And if the Titans want to run the ball 35 times, we're going to score 35 points. Let them run it.
Okay.
But that's what happened last time.
Ben,
they scored 35
Ben.
Points and they lost.
Ben's on my side.
Actually, I'm completely against you. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Titans to hope that Henry can dominate on the ground and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field as much as they can. I just don't think they're going to have a lot of success stopping Patrick Mahomes. I think the Chiefs, we talked about this going into last week, the Chiefs are healthier than they've been all year. Mahomes had the couple ankle injuries, then the dislocated kneecap. Tyreek Hill was out early in the season. Damian Williams was in and out of the lineup all year. They're healthy right now, and they looked really good even after they got down early against Houston. Their offense is as explosive right now, I think, as it was in 2018. I think they're going to put up plenty of points on the Titans and force the Titans to throw.
Oh, I think they are definitely going to put up plenty of points on the Titans. I just don't think there's any chance the Titans run the ball fewer than 20 times. Like, Derrick Henry's getting 20 attempts if they're down 14 points in the second quarter, 14 points in the third quarter.
14, yes. If it's more than that, though, that's the concern.
Right.
So do the does the Chiefs defense show up early as opposed to last week where they, you know, I mean, the punt block
right.
was a big part of that. But, you know, if the score is skewed in the tight in the Chiefs' favor so dramatically, this is going to be a big test for what Henry is facing, because this is the toughest offense that they face so far in terms of what the explosiveness can be. Not that the Ravens or Patriots offense is bad. Well, Patriots offense, but, right. you know, different animal.
Yeah. All right, Ben, give me one player you like in DFS this week.
I have A.J. Brown as my player. I think it's a good time to get back on him. He struggled against really tough cornerback matchups. The Chiefs have been pretty good against receivers. I don't put them in that class. He struggled when he was shadowed by Marshawn Lattimore and shadowed by Stephon Gilmore. The Ravens don't really shadow, and I don't think he was shadowed last week, but very good against wide receivers as well. But I think A.J. Brown's a really top talent, and I think that they're going to trail and have to throw on the road. And I think we'll see him put up pretty big numbers. It's a good time to be back on him in DFS now that his price has dropped a little bit.
Yeah, he's got 2 catches for 13 yards in the playoffs, but they're just not throwing. Ryan Tannehill's thrown, 29 passes in 2 games. You know, you got to hope that he'll throw 29 passes in this game. You know, if you're going to play A.J. Brown, who is the third most expensive wide receiver on FanDuel, and I don't quite remember on DraftKings pulling up a lineup now.
He's 4th.
But yeah, a little bit of a discount. 4th. Okay, thanks. Jamie, one player that you like in DFS this week?
I'll just stick with the same theme of the Titans. Jonnu Smith, you know, I do think the Titans are going to have to throw in this game. And, you know, Smith is the 4th most expensive tight end of the 4 that you would consider playing. You know, Kelce, Kittle, Graham, and Smith. And the fact that he's behind Jimmy Graham on DraftKings, I don't know what he is on FanDuel, but that is just, I think, a great buy at $3,400.
Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have to save money, most likely. It's just, you know, it's not a deep slate. It's only 2 games. So maybe that's one of the scrubs that you could go with. And the tight ends, it was Firkser, I believe, in the first meeting who got a touchdown against them. I like Mahomes because I don't like any of the quarterbacks this week other than Mahomes. I don't like Rodgers. I don't like Garoppolo because I think they're going to have more success running the ball. I can't trust Tannehill. So I think Mahomes was the guy that I gravitated toward. Is like, I got to get him in my lineup. I know it's expensive, but if I'm playing up for someone, it's Mahomes, guys.
Why is it you can't trust Tannehill?
Because he's thrown 29 passes in 2 games combined.
But that's with them playing with a significant lead, though.
Yeah, maybe. So, look, I guess if I like Mahomes, I should probably like Ryan Tannehill, right? Because Tannehill's going to have to throw. So he would be my second favorite. But I don't know. Just what's going to happen when they get near the end zone? It's going to be Derrick Henry.
Still, the fact that he threw as little as he has, I mean, he's got 160 passing yards in 2 games. Is it 160 or 130? One of those two. Under 200 yards passing, 2 games. He got 3 touchdowns last week, 4 total for the playoffs. So it's not like he's not scoring.
Yeah, that's fluky. No, but he was terrible against the Patriots. So
terrible or just didn't do much?
Yeah. No, he was terrible for fantasy. He was terrible for fantasy.
Right, but if you think the Chiefs are going to play with a lead, you have to like Tannehill, or you should like Tannehill.
I think that makes sense, unless you just think the Chiefs might blow them out, which, you know, it's possible, but probably not. I mean, let's give the Titans some respect. All right, that makes sense. Put it this way. I'm avoiding the quarterbacks in the NFC game. So that would be the player I don't like in DFS. Heath, who's a player you don't like?
So you took 2 players for the player you don't like?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to go with Aaron Jones. I might play both the running backs from the Chiefs-Titans. I might play Derrick Henry and Damian Williams, my 2 favorite running backs, because I have no idea what the 49ers are going to do like we didn't for most of the year. So I'll say Aaron Jones against that 49ers defense.
Okay, Ben, don't like.
I had Aaron Jones as my don't like. I'll jump over to Tevin Coleman. I think, you know, he had a big game last week, but he had 22 carries, and they ran a significant number of times because Mostert still had 12 and Breida had, I think, 8. So they ran over 40 times to their running backs. I mean, I don't think they're going to run 40 times to their backs most weeks. I think obviously as home favorites, it's a good spot, but I would rather go over to Mostert and hope that maybe he gets the touchdowns this week than ride Coleman after he had the big game last week.
Yeah, oh man, there is such a big difference on DraftKings between Coleman and Mostert, and it's really not that small on FanDuel either. Coleman's 700 more than Mostert, so that caught my eye. Wouldn't you rather just spend less on Raheem Mostert than more on Tevin Coleman? Jamie, who are you avoiding?
Derrick Henry, just the cost. It's hard. I think Heath's right. He could have a big game, and Adam, like you said, he could be the one scoring touchdowns, but this just feels like this is where the run stops, and he doesn't have that big performance for what the cost is.
And he's $1,000 more than Mahomes on DraftKings, and he's $300 more than Mahomes on FanDuel. So
he's $1,700 more than Damian Williams, who I think can have a big game as well. And then it's a matter of, do you want to go cheap with Mostert, which I think is the most logical pairing if you're looking at the running back plays. If you want to avoid Henry, you play Damian and you play Mostert and just hope that, you know, like what Ben said, Mostert had a six-game scoring streak stop last week where he had 8 touchdowns in those 6 games. And the 12 carries that he had was the most since the last time he faced the Packers, which was week 12. So despite the fact that he had a calf cramp and Tevin Coleman was having a big game, they still gave Mostert a significant amount of carries. So if he's getting 12-plus carries, I think that's a good opportunity for him. Like I said, he did score against the Packers in that week 12 meeting.
By the way, Heath, the original player that I was going to say that I didn't like in DFS was Aaron Jones. So you're welcome for not taking him.
You took two.
We all hit him.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back, Jamie, from the FSGAAs, the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association Awards. And you are a back-to-back winner of Best Analyst, which is amazing. It's hard to win those things back-to-back. So a huge congratulations to you. Well done. And how was your time in Vegas?
First off, I'll start with the award. I'm not the type of person that likes these things. So, you know, I think it's certainly a credit to all of us and everything that we do here. So I like to think that this is a team award. The three of us, the three of you, along with Dave and our producers, the people behind the scenes that don't get a lot of credit, I think it speaks to all of us and the work that we do here at CBS Sports. So, this is something I would say congratulations to all of us. The cool thing about the conference, which is the first time I've gone, is the chance to meet all the people in the industry, which is so amazing. And it's just such a great group of people. We compete with them, I use that word loosely, but this first time I met like the fantasy footballers, right, for example, and like, you want to hate them because they're so good at what they do. And here these guys are who are, at the peak of the business. They won the podcast award. They're a fantastic group of guys. And here they are saying that they got their start essentially from, I know they've said this to you, Adam, before, and they referenced it, from listening to us, right. And that's something that is like so flattering to hear. There was one story in particular that sort of struck with me. I'm not going to say the person's name, but said that there was some conversation about this other analyst referenced to us many, many years ago. And Adam, we brought that person on the show when they were at a much smaller site. And because of that appearance on the show, they went from the small site to a bigger site, and from a bigger site to now one of the major sites. And this person was telling me, how influential that just appearance was. And so, obviously I've been doing this a long time now. It's almost 15 years for me. So I'm one of the older members of our fantasy community, which feels weird. But you hear stories like that, and it's just like, so flattering and just sort of blows you away. And I think, that's something that's really cool. The other thing that was just awesome is, I was there, Chris Towers was there, Ben Schrager was there. So many people talking about all of you guys and asking about all of you guys, Ben in particular, the people that know you, Ben, were asking, just how nice it is to have you part of the group now. Heath and the things that you've done, since joining the crew. Adam, they were saying, do you really not leave your house at all?
It's true.
Things like that. But it just was really, really a great experience. And I'm really thankful for the FSGA for the award and thankful for our fantasy community to be able to spend some time with a lot of the guys that do a lot of just amazing, amazing work. And congratulations to all the other winners as well.
Yeah. And I have no idea who you were talking about with the analyst that we brought on our show.
I'll tell you off the air. It was a story that was shared with me, privately, and I didn't want to necessarily, make it public. One other thing, just because he's done such great work, congratulations to Scott Fish, who was named the Humanitarian of the Year from the FSGA. He does just such fantastic, endeavors with the Fantasy Cares and the Scott Fish Bowl. I've said this at the ceremony. Heath and I were talking about it off the air. They should change the name of the award to the Scott Fish Humanitarian Award. And Heath brought up a good suggestion that Scott should be able to pick the winner of that or give that honor. It's not really a winner. Give that honor. And so, Scott, congratulations to you as well.
Yeah, congratulations to everybody, especially Scott, and to Jamie, to all the winners out there. And yeah, good stuff. And we're glad to have you back, Jamie. I hope
back.
No days off. No days off. CBS Sports. CBS Sports HQ. Make sure you're watching Fantasy Football Today. We'll have some off-season shows. We're going to be doing shows from the Super Bowl from Radio Row the week leading up to the Super Bowl. So download the CBS Sports HQ app and start watching it for free on your Roku, on your Apple TV, your Amazon Fire, wherever. We got the McGregor stuff going on. I'm not a big combat sports guy, but I know who McGregor is, and I know he's in the news. So you should listen to the State of Combat podcast because they crush it. All right, great combat podcast. Boxing, MMA, wrestling. The wrestling shows are so fun. State of Combat, check that out. And watch our show on YouTube at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. I have a cool new background. It's awesome. All right, guys, let's talk about wide receivers. Sum up the wide receiver position in 1 to 3 sentences, Ben Gretsch.
Yeah, I'll say revitalized. I mean, a couple of years ago, we had A.B., Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, A.J. Green, those types of guys at the top that aren't there anymore. And I just love the depth heading into 2020. I'm just going to name off some names as my 1 to 3 sentences here. It's going to be a lot longer than that. But Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, Kenny Golladay, D.J. Moore, Devontae Parker, Michael Gallup, Calvin Ridley, DJ Chark, Tyler Boyd, Cortland Sutton, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, Debo Samuel, DK Metcalf, Darius Slayton, Preston Williams, maybe Marquise Brown, a reemergence by A-Rob. He's only 26. There is so many young receivers that had great 2019s that this position's in really, really good shape going to 2020.
Okay, that was only 2 sentences. Good job, Heath. 1 to 3 sentences on the wide receiver position.
Almost exactly what I had planned on talking about, except in a little bit different way, but just with the youth coming. I'll flip it around on the other side, and this is not describing the position, but I think it's another thing to watch out. I think Ben described it perfectly. Watch out for the old guys. Julio turned 30. T.Y. Hilton's now going to be 30. A.J. Green's going to try to come back at 32. Guys like Marvin Jones. I would watch out for those old guys heading into this year and beyond.
In a positive way or a negative
way? Negative way.
Negative way.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
Jamie,
though,
sum
for the most
up the
part,
wide receiver position.
Negative from
except
Julio.
Except for Julio, yeah.
I think it kind of speaks to what both these guys are saying. More saturated, but in a good way. You know, so the guys at the top, I think we saw they faded a little bit, but we're seeing, you know, just a potential for guys to sort of crack the top 24, the top 30, whatever number you want to put it at. We saw that this year, you know, from guys who had potential once upon a time, like a Devontae Parker or a DJ Chark, who, you know, sort of took a maybe a bigger leap than anybody expected. Darius Slayton, you know, somebody like that, aside from just the top tier rookies that we saw. So I think it's going to be interesting to see when we get to drafts, how many people gravitate toward wide receivers early or just kind of say, I'm going to wait a little bit and hope to take 3 to 5 good guys starting maybe in round. It's almost like, you know, the reverse of waiting on running backs, you know, just sort of doing the same thing with receivers.
And my sentences to sum up wide receiver, much worse than 2018, but still not bad. But the elite guys disappointed. If you look at the top 12 in average draft position, only 4 of them finished as top 12 wide receivers in PPR. Going back to, you look at Fantasy Pros ADP, which is almost identical to CBS ADP, it was Hopkins, Adams, Julio, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Beckham, Juju, Evans, Antonio Brown, Thielen, Keenan Allen, and Diggs. Only 4 of those 12 finished as top 12 wide receivers. And I think the big question is, you know, you talk about all this youth, and you talk about watch out for the older guys. You know, how are you going to approach it in 2020? Are we seeing a true changing of the guard, or are we maybe another year away from that? You know, like how much time do those wide receiver have been a pretty stable position? I felt like we were really getting a lot of the same name showing up in ADP toward the top. These guys who are really carving out great careers. It was an era of great wide receivers. You know, are we seeing the end of that era? You know, how much into that transition are we of out with the old and with the new?
I'd say right in the middle of it. I think it's going to be really tough this year to contrast those guys that made the leap into the top 12 last year, but we probably expect them to slide a little bit. And the guys that we drafted in the top 12 that weren't that good, but we expect them to bounce back a little bit. And they're all going to be kind of right there in the middle. I'm not sure they're quite going to be available round four, round five. It's going to be like that round three range is going to be a ton of wide receivers. Some of them who we don't think will be quite as good as they were last year, and some of them who I think will bounce back.
Yeah, I think the reason I said that round four range is, like, I'm thinking of, like, Robert Woods and, you know, where will Juju settle? Well, Cooper Kupp, you know, you're going to get a run, I think, round two, round three of, you know, the top 12 guys will be gone. It's, I think it's that 13 through 25 group, 13 through 30 group.
Right.
You know, of, and I think that's the group that's going to really determine how a lot of your teams look if you don't invest early in one of those top tier guys with the hope that they are still great. You know, that's the group I think that's going to determine a big part of what this position looks like in 2020.
Okay. So, yeah, are you going to take DJ Moore over Juju Smith-Schuster or Odell Beckham? Are you going to take one of those rookie wide receivers over like a Keenan Allen or something like that? We will talk about that in just one moment. Let's take a quick break here on Fantasy Football Today. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Let's pick it up right there in that conversation of kind of out with the old, in with the new. And Ben, I wanted to get your take on that. How about this? Give me, let's say, some of the younger guys that you think are ready to be elite, if they're not already, and some of the older guys that you're putting behind these young studs that you like.
Yeah, I mean, DJ Moore and AJ Brown are two that stand out for me pretty quickly.
You never talk about those guys.
I know, I never have really ever mentioned him, but I think Cortland Sutton's another one that I feel very strongly about. Calvin Ridley, I think, is going to go overlooked as a guy who definitely took a step forward because his final line pretty much matched his rookie season line, but he did it in three fewer games, and he was much better after Sanu got traded. I expect him to be very good in year three. But I one of the things I'm going to kind of pivot away from your question about the veterans. One of the things I wanted to mention was guys like Christian Kirk and Will Fuller, Mike Williams, Curtis Samuel. Those are guys I didn't name when I named like 18 guys who had big 2019s. Those guys are all going to be values next year. I mean, I think this receiver position, the big thing about the depth is I don't know that you have to necessarily pay up in the round three or round four range. And Jamie was kind of mentioning this. I think you're still going to be able to get really good receivers next year in round five, round six, round seven. And I've talked about that range as the kind of running back dead zone already going into this past season. I know this coming year, I'll be spending those rounds really heavily investing in wide receiver.
And you know what? Round five and round six were pretty good this year for wide receiver. That's where, not necessarily in our drafts, but based on CBS ADP, round five, we had Tyler Lockett, Kenny Galladay, Cooper Kupp, and Chris Godwin, and T.Y. Hilton and Calvin Ridley. Round five was awesome this year. They went behind, you know, round four wasn't bad. Diggs, Cooper, Cooks, it was bad. Edelman, Robert Woods. But yeah, round five was a sweet spot in wide receiver average draft position. Well, I want to just give some. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you know, we've already done a couple drafts and, you know, just looking at round five already, this is our PPR one, which we did 2 weeks ago. Calvin Ridley, Devontae Parker, Cortland Sutton. Those guys were in round five. Round six was Michael Gallup, Jarvis Landry, DJ Chark, AJ Green, T.Y. Hilton, Tyler Boyd, Christian Kirk, John Brown. I mean, that's a pretty good group.
Yeah.
How are we feeling wide receiver versus running back right now? I know that's a very generic question that probably requires an hour to truly answer. But Heath, if somebody said to you, like, hey, I'm doing a draft and I don't know, should I favor wide receivers or running backs? Like, what's your take?
I think it's totally going to depend on where you're at in the draft and who you're drafting with. Like, if you're drafting, when we do these drafts with me and Jamie and Dave, and now Ben's involved, so it's not quite that much. But I used to always know that I'm not going to get any running backs because Dave's drafting for four teams and he's going to draft six running backs on each team.
Right.
So I think you do have to kind of know. But I still feel like other than Michael Thomas, the elite running backs are better than the elite wide receivers. And the mid-range wide receivers are better than the mid-range running backs.
Say that again.
The elite running backs are better than the elite receivers, except for Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. And the like high end mid range wide receivers all the way through the full mid range are better than the running back options.
Right now.
And how
the rookies are obviously going to change.
Right.
Yeah, how many wide receivers do you think deserve to be drafted in round one? And before you answer that, if you look at the splits, like we keep talking about DeAndre Hopkins with Will Fuller in Will Fuller's healthy games. If you also look at the splits of Julio Jones with Calvin Ridley, he was on pace for 145 targets, five touchdowns, 92 catches, 1,355 yards. Good, but not great. You look at Julio Jones's final season numbers, like he went berserk the last three games of the year after the Ridley injury. So those two guys, you know, they took a step back when everybody was healthy. So with that said, how many wide receivers do you think right now deserve to be first round picks?
I'd lean towards three.
Who?
Which three?
Well, obviously Michael Thomas. I think I'll probably have Hopkins and Julio in the first round, but I mean, I don't know for sure who will be number three, but I would expect I'm probably going to have eight running backs, Travis Kelce, and three receivers.
Yeah, I'm probably about that number three. I think Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams will also be in that discussion as, you know, top three, top five guys in the end of the first, early second round maybe. But I do think most of everything we're saying points towards, yeah, you can go running back early and you should invest in some of these workhorse running backs early and still get receivers later. So it shouldn't be receiver heavy early on.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably four for me would be the most with Thomas. For me, Adams is two, and then Hopkins and Julio.
And let's talk about Tampa Bay real quick here, because based on last year, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, they should be first-round picks. They were, on a per-game basis, both of them were top four wide receivers in PPR. I mean, that is crazy. Two wide receivers on one team, Jamie. So, you know, I don't know that they're going to show up necessarily in, like, people's top five. Certainly not in the top four, based on what we were just hearing. Which is fine, but where are you right now on the Bucs wide receivers, Godwin and Evans, and who do you like better? Start with that.
Right now, I'm still Evans over Godwin, but I'm going to probably go back and forth on that 100 times in the next few months. I think it's going to come down to Jameis. You know, is he the quarterback? If they move on from him and it's a rookie, or is it, you know, I mean, could be Tom Brady. You know, we've heard that as a potential landing spot for him. That will be a big determining factor. But if it's status quo, Jameis and those two guys, assuming both are healthy, then I think they're both early second round picks. I think, you know, PPR more so than non-PPR, but top 15 selections. I think they both showed themselves to be pretty fantastic last year.
So I like to stir the pot. You said Tom Brady. If Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers, it's a downgrade, right?
Agreed. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably good for Godwin, and it's a major downgrade.
I don't think there's any free agent that makes them better.
No.
You know, unless Breeze. You know, you can make an argument maybe there, but if it's a rookie or if it's, you know, they're taking a chance on a Bridgewater or, you know, somebody non-Jameis, you know, Jameis is a perfect fit for those guys, you know, with what Bruce Arians does and what those guys are capable of doing. I mean, we saw it last year. They were absolute stars.
Yeah, I'll have Evans in my top five, I would guess, and Godwin probably around seven or eight.
Okay. So Odell Beckham and Juju Smith-Schuster, who thinks one of these guys can bounce back and be elite again?
Sure, either of them.
Apparently
could.
No one.
No, I think they could.
Yeah, I do.
I think.
Well, look at our drafts. I mean, I think I took Where'd Odell in the fourth round.
No, he didn't make it to the fourth round. I think I took
Odell in the fourth round in the non-PPR, which I was like shocked about. I wanted to take A.J. Brown, but I was like, I ended up taking Odell over A.J. Brown. I mean.
Juju went second pick of round two in the PPR one. Odell went in round three.
To me.
To you. I'll check the non-PPR one in a second.
Here's something that I did notice about Odell Beckham. It's now 2 years in a row, and one with Beckham, one without, that Jarvis Landry has been the red zone darling and the green zone darling of the Cleveland Browns. He had as many green zone or inside the 10-yard line targets as Beckham had in the red zone this year, and Jarvis Landry was third in the NFL in red zone targets. So I don't like that, but I also mentioned it like 100 times. They played an extremely difficult schedule. Beckham had only three matchups against teams that ranked in the bottom 10 in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, and he was awesome in two of those three games. So, look, he was playing hurt all year. I know he's risky. As Jamie mentioned, I took him in the middle of the third round, so it's about 30th overall in PPR. Ben got him in the fourth round in non-PPR. Jamie, is there something you wanted to add?
I think the one thing that's you know, going to be interesting to see is now with Stefanski as the head coach, I think it's going to be a Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen situation again. You know, this just feels the same way. Two great receivers with an offense that's going to still want to run the ball and you know, do play action, get some boots and get the quarterback out on the move. And is Mayfield did not support both guys at a high level on a consistent basis last year. Can he do that in this new offense? That's going to be the thing we have to figure out. Beckham in the fourth round is a very good value.
Oh, yeah.
I think the third round is kind of where he's going to end up settling.
Yeah, Ben, let me ask you about A.J. Brown, because they, you know, how can you not be a little concerned about A.J. Brown based on what we've seen in the postseason? Now, look, Derrick Henry's not going to get 30 carries a game. They're going a little overboard here. But I was trying to look at wide receivers that were on teams that were in the bottom five in pass attempts per game. And in the last five seasons, there's only been one wide receiver who's been a top 10 PPR receiver on an offense that ranked bottom five in pass attempts. That was Doug Baldwin in 2016, I believe, and he was 10th. In the last three seasons, there have been only one wide receiver finished higher than 20th in PPR on an offense that ranked in the bottom five in pass attempts. That was Tyler Lockett in 2018, and he was 16th. A.J. Brown himself was 21st this year, and they were either last or second to last in pass attempts. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting stat, I think. So, you know, what do you make of that and your love for A.J. Brown? It probably relates to Deebo Samuel as well, who I think we're all sort of excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I think A.J. Brown, you made it right. You made the right point that you have to be concerned about the volume. But and one thing I would note, we just did those two mocks. I didn't take A.J. Brown in either. And, you know, when I had this same kind of excitement about DJ Moore last year, I think I was getting him in almost every single mock we were doing because I really liked the value. I think right now Brown is properly valued. I don't think he's like a screaming value, at least judging by the two drafts that we've done. There's a lot of excitement about him. There's a lot of reason to be really optimistic about him long term as an elite talent. He was a really, really good age-adjusted producer in college. And one of the things that I really love about that, now that we circle back, is he played alongside DK Metcalf. He played alongside Dawson Knox. And now that we've seen those guys do a little something in the NFL, it puts into perspective even more how dominant A.J. Brown's production was alongside those guys. You don't necessarily see that as much. Like when Odell and Jarvis Landry played it together at LSU, they stole production from each other. DK Metcalf was banged up a little bit during that time, but there was a season he played he played 12 games, and then the next season he played seven or so. But A.J. Brown just absolutely destroyed his production while they were playing together. And then you see Metcalf produce at the NFL level, and you say, man, A.J. Brown is a legitimate number one wide receiver who will produce. The problem is, yeah, will they throw enough and all of those things? But you can go to tape as well. I mean, the guy looks like Terrell Owens. He plays so physical after the catch. I think he's going to be a star. The question is, will he get enough targets, as you said? And I don't think you can draft him as a top five or top seven receiver because of that concern.
And I started yesterday on my building the 2020 projections. And actually, I started with the AFC South. So I've already made a projection, a very, very early projection for A.J. Brown. And it was funny because I do think he gets more targets next year. I've got him for 20 more targets, 12 more catches. But he's not going to average 12 and a half yards per target again. That was amazing that he did that. Nobody does that again. So I've actually got him for 20 fewer yards. 64 for 1,029 and 7 touchdowns. Probably going to be a low-end number two, if I was guessing.
Which is what he was this year. But, of course, that was like with Tannehill, he was like a high-end number one. You know, I mean, with Mariota, right, he was terrible. But
and snaps ticked right, up. So his snaps ticked up throughout the year. So I wouldn't look at his full year number. He played in the 40% of snap shares all through September and then around 60% all through October. And then he finally was full time at like week 10.
It's just a weird combination where he's going to have a lot more opportunities and he's definitely not going to be as efficient as he was. And so his production may look pretty similar, even though it comes in a little different way.
All right. We're going to do sleepers, breakouts, and busts. I'm actually going to start with a bust and let you guys talk about it a little bit. I'm nervous about Devontae Parker. I really wanted him in the draft we did. He went in the middle of round five in the PPR draft. It was a three receiver league, and I was two spots away, and I was hoping to get him. But I think, you know, look, his splits were dramatically different with Preston Williams and without Preston Williams. I think he probably showed enough to earn, you know, a bigger role, even if Preston Williams comes back and he's healthy and whatnot. But I look, if they keep Fitzpatrick, I'll like Parker. But the way I see it now is if they don't, they're going to have a downgrade at quarterback. If it's Josh Rosen, like, he's awful. If it's Tua or something, that seems far-fetched, you know. So I'm nervous about Devontae Parker. Thrilled with the way he played. He was awesome against some of the toughest competition in football. But I worry about the situation for him next year.
No, agree. I think Fitzpatrick is important to him.
Yeah.
He was way better with Fitzpatrick.
Bust for me, Stephon Diggs.
Oh no, we're going to have a fight.
Why?
No, we already did that.
Adam already told me that Jamie's not happy with the Evan of top 10.
Oh, yeah, in top 10. No, that's terrible.
So, I said on the show that he probably won't wind up in my top 10, and I will say that when I was making that top 10, I felt very strongly that I could have put about 20 players right there at the back end of the top 10. I think there's a really
good. So, who are the other 19
A.J. Brown was one, for sure.
E.J. Brown was absolutely one. He was almost the wide receiver 10 on my list. I'll say Julian Edelman for my bust. I think it's pretty obvious that this will be the last very good season of his career. He's going to be 33. He's always had injury problems. It was only his third 16-game season of his career. We know Tom Brady's falling off. This is not a guy that you want to be taking in round 3, 4, wherever he goes, just because he had a 100-catch season in 2019.
Heath.
The things will have to happen for this to actually him to be drafted in a place that he can be a bust, but I'm going to say AJ Green. I just worry at his age, he's going to be 32 years old, didn't even play last year. I think people are going to get excited when they draft Joe Burrow, and then AJ Green's going to come back, and they're going to treat AJ Green like a top 15, top 20 wide receiver, and I don't think he's going to be that anymore. I'm not so sure he's going to be the number one wide receiver on the team.
All right, how about some sleepers / breakouts, guys that we think are going to be good draft values at wide receiver?
Benson Hardman. Yeah, I don't know if Sammy Watkins will be back. I think he was really efficient. I mean, Heath just mentioned A.J. Brown's efficiency, which was almost tops in the league, but Hardman, I think, even had a better yards per target, a lot fewer targets, obviously, but was very explosive when he got opportunities this year. I don't know that Sammy Watkins will be back. If Mecole Hardman is a starter in this Kansas City offense, he's going to be a star.
Jamie and Heath, would you like to talk now?
I thought Jamie was starting.
I think Ben mentioned one earlier, you know, from breakouts, Calvin Ridley. I think he's going to get a little overlooked just because of the injury at the end of the season. And, you know, for whatever reason, I think people are sort of down on the Falcons, which, you know, if you look at their team, that's sort of understandable. But, you know, entering his third year, Julio is going to probably start to take a little bit of a slide production-wise. Ridley's numbers were identical, almost to a T. And, you know, this is, I think, the type of third year breakout. You know, I talk about that all the time with the third year receivers, that this is the type of guy that I love, is, you know, very productive in his first 2 years and the chance to really take that next step forward. And I think he's going to do it.
I'll take DK Metcalf. I think we all loved his athleticism and his ability coming in. We thought, man, he's a project. He's going to take a little time. He can't turn all the jokes. He did things in the playoffs that he couldn't do at the beginning of the year. And the fact that as raw as he was, he put up 900 yards in his rookie year. He might be a top 12 wide receiver next year. And I had him in my top 12 for dynasty wide receivers. So I'm pretty excited about him.
Cool. All right. So let's talk a little DFS here. Let's make some lineups on FanDuel and DraftKings. And we'll start with the AFC game, Tennessee and Kansas City. And I guess, Heath, let me start with you. If you're going to put Derrick Henry in your lineup, you talked about the scrubs that you need to complete it, and you said there are a lot of them. Who are some of the scrubs, whether it's from this game or the other game, that you like this week that you can surround Derrick Henry with?
They are all wide receivers. I've not found, and I'm only looking at FanDuel, I've not found a scrub at any other position that I want to play, but there's a bunch of them, and several of them are actually from this game. I think Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson had a terrible game last week, but he still saw four targets. He's playing with Patrick Mahomes. At any point, one of those targets could turn into a touchdown. So Hardman and Robinson are both below 5,000. Corey Davis is right at 5,000, and he's not what I was hoping he would be, but in a situation where we think they could be chasing points, he could definitely score a garbage time touchdown. And then if Alan Lazard plays, I think one of those Green Bay wide receivers, so much was made about how Davante Adams basically had all the receiver production. 49ers have a very good defense. They're going to do their best to take away Adams. One of the secondary receivers from the Packers, I think, could be a good option.
Okay, and philosophically, with a two-game slate, you know, would you rather... So, for example, right, I've got some studs in there. I've got Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, and George Kittle in my FanDuel lineup. Would you rather have, like, more balance, or are you okay having... studs and duds. You want studs and duds?
In my opinion, and Ben might think, or Jamie might think something different, but in my opinion, on a two-game slate, it is that much more important that you have the top overall plays, because there's not really any way to overcome that. If somebody's going to score 40 this week, you've got to have that guy or you lose. So I want to play the three or four guys that I think could be the top scoring players at their position.
Yeah, the thing that's going to win this for you is going to be the fluke play. It's not going to be the stud going off, because everybody's going to play some level of these superstar players. There's going to be so many people with Mahomes, with Kelsey, with Kittle, with Tyreek. It's hard to avoid it. It's, you want to make sure you have those numbers and then hope that you hit on a Mecole Hardman, or like for me, it's Kendrick Bourne. You know, I think you've seen enough of him. He's three touchdowns in his last five games or six games, whatever it is. You know, that's the type of guy you need to set you apart, but you can't overlook those stud players.
When I construct these lineups, I on a small slate like this, and both guys are right. These guys are going to have massive ownership percentages. Everyone, anyone who's a notable name is going to be in a ton of lineups, right? So I'm thinking of it two ways. One, who am I putting in my lineup, and I'm making a decision that I think that player is going to do well. And anyone that I'm not putting in my lineup, I'm making a conscious decision that I think that player is going to do poorly. Because if anyone that I leave out of my lineup who is is a vaguely popular name who does well, is going to sink me, because they're going to have massive ownership percentage. All those names you named, George Kittle, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Patrick Mahomes. If I don't play any of those guys, I'm making a conscious decision that that player is going to underperform, or else I lose. And if they underperform, I want to know who in that game will perform well if they do. And for instance, if you don't play Patrick Mahomes, you're probably playing Derrick Henry. You think that they're going to run the ball. The Titans are going to run the ball, maybe win, you know, and control the game. If you don't play Davante Adams, you might be playing Aaron Jones, right? So you want to consider how these things all correlate, and when you're making a decision not to put a high-owned guy in your lineup, you're making a decision to fade that player. He has to do poorly, or you're going to be sunk.
So maybe pairing Patrick Mahomes and A.J. Brown would make sense? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right. Now, the reason why we didn't want to start Aaron Jones is the 49ers defense has just been unbelievable against the run. In their last eight games, no running back has 70 rushing yards. You are talking about Aaron Jones, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, Devontae Freeman, and Dalvin Cook. They all scored five or fewer non-PPR fantasy points and seven or fewer PPR fantasy points. Dalvin Cook did not even have 20 rushing yards last week. So, and they're also the best against pass-catching running backs. So that's why we are getting away from Aaron Jones this week. I don't know that we'll necessarily break down the games, but let's just talk about it. Like, Jamie, talk DFS. I'm just going to leave it open-ended and what you want to do this week.
I want to play Mahomes. I think there's, you know, we sort of touched on this earlier. I think there's two quarterbacks that make sense. It's Mahomes and Tannehill because of how that game should go. I'm going to avoid Henry because how I think that game's going to go. I just don't think that he's going to have the same heights that we've seen, the same ceiling that he's reached. I think that A.J. Brown has a chance to bounce back because of game flow. Jonnu Smith, like I said, is somebody who's a good cheap option. But it's a weird slate because of the way that these four teams are sort of structured and the defenses that they're facing. Aaron Jones is one of two Packers that you should like, but it's hard to play him. So really, for me, the only Packers guy that I like to the extent of wanting to play is Davante Adams. And for the 49ers, it's really just Raheem Mostert based on his price, unless you want to play Kittle or Samuel. But, you know, those guys I think are sort of can be replaced with some other options. So, you know, Mostert is my favorite 49ers guy. Devontae is my favorite Packers guy from that game.
And I, for the most part, I'm just avoiding that game. I'm just play as many Chiefs and Titans as I can. Do you want my lineup, Adam?
Yeah, let's do lineups.
All right. So I've got Mahomes, Derrick Henry, and Damian Williams. Actually, it's just a full Chiefs stack, except no Tyreek. So Mahomes, Damian Williams, Mecole Hardman, and Travis Kelce. And then I've got my other receivers are Corey Davis and Deebo Samuel. I've got Alan Lazard in the flex and the Packers defense as the cheapest option.
How much do you care about defense? I also ended up with the Packers. That was not by design.
I don't really like any of the defenses. So I don't care that much. They're about $600 apart. You're hoping for a pick six. And I think really the most likely quarterback to throw an interception is probably Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is on FanDuel, by the way. This is Heat's FanDuel lineup. I want to talk about Tyreek Hill. You said he's not in your lineup. He is in mine. And he really hasn't been very good. Since he came back from the injury, he's not getting a lot of targets. Since coming back from the injury that he suffered in that game, I believe it was in Mexico City against the Chargers, he's had 8, 8, 7, 5, 5, and 4 targets in his last 6 games. Talking about Tyreek Hill, Ben, who had 41 yards in a game in which the Chiefs scored a touchdown on 7 consecutive possessions and Patrick Mahomes scored 5 touchdowns. I have the tendency to just put my faith in him. I know he's been a streaky player in his career, and he always has massive upside. But is Tyreek Hill, do you think is he a trap this week?
No. I will never say Tyreek Hill is a trap. He's the kind of player that can, you just said it, he's streaky, he's explosive, he can completely change the slate with one play, right? So I'll be back on him. I had a lot of him last week. I had Mahomes as my quarterback, and I think every single lineup I did for the full weekend slate. And I didn't stack him with Kelce and Damian enough. I had Hill in a ton of lineups, and I'll be right back on that. I mean, even though it didn't work for me last week, I'm very content with that structure. You know, I think teams focus on taking him away more than other players, but I don't think that it's easy to do. For as long as teams have been able to do it, I think he's going to have a big game either this week or if they make it into the Super Bowl in the Super Bowl.
The nice thing about it is that when he faced them the last time, obviously it was a different game. I don't think it's going to go the same way, but 11 catches, 157 yards and a touchdown on 19 targets. That would be amazing. You take that all day. I like the fact that he's talking trash though about that no one can guard their receivers, you know? So, you know, maybe that's something Mahomes wants to allow him to prove that. But I think it kind of goes with what Ben is saying. You don't want to, and I know you feel this way, Adam, but you don't want to miss out on that if you can play. You really can't play both Hill and Kelce. It's just almost difficult to do if you're going to have some semblance of a good running back. And so you have to sort of pick if you want to have one of those two guys. If you can make it both work, then you're sacrificing probably somewhere else. But it's hard to overlook what those guys will do. I just don't think you're going to get monster games from both of them like we saw last week where it was Kelce going off and Hill not doing very much.
All right, I'll get a lineup from Jamie, get a lineup from Ben, and I'll give a lineup. And just final question here. I do want to point out, if you're thinking about playing Devontae Adams against the 49ers, 49ers have actually kind of struggled against wide receivers lately. They've allowed a touchdown to 8 wide receivers in their last 5 games. The elite ones have really kind of gone off on them. Michael Thomas obviously had a huge game, 134 yards and a touchdown. Julio Jones, 134 yards and 2 touchdowns. Robert Woods, 117 yards. They all had double-digit targets. And Devontae Adams will probably have that because he's had double-digit targets in 7 of his last 8 games since returning from injury. So I like him a lot. I think he's worth the price. Kittle versus Kelce. Kelce's a lot more expensive. What side of this are we on? Kittle versus Kelce, Jamie, Heath, Ben.
I mean, Kittle was disappointing last week, but, you know, he's always in play. The Packers, you know, their defense has been better against tight ends of late, but I still think that's a weak point for them. It just, I think, comes down to what you want to spend. You know, if you want to sort of go a different route, then Kittle makes a lot more sense. But Kelce, at this point, it's hard to say I don't feel confident in him. If anybody's, you know, been watching Chiefs.
Who's a better value? Who do you think is a better value?
I mean, well, what's the price difference on DraftKings?
Like a 1,300 or something.
It's $800 on FanDuel. So I'm
it's 1,300 on DraftKings.
Yeah, I would play Kittle on DraftKings. I'd play Kelce on FanDuel.
Ben, give me your favorite lineup.
You know, I honestly haven't even started building them. I just threw one together, though. Like, this is an idea of the kind of tournament lineup I'd build. It'd be Mahomes, Damian Williams, and Tyreek Hill. Bring that back with A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith. You're kind of expecting a little bit of passing on both sides, KC getting out in front. And then the way that I built this lineup, I put Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman in the lineup and the San Francisco defense, and you're essentially hoping for a San Francisco dominant performance where they're running the ball 30, 40 times, and I added Emmanuel Sanders in there as well. So I didn't play a single Packer, and I think that's another thing you can think about on two-game slates is how these game flows are going to go and what that means for the overall statistics And so this would be, you know, KC and Tennessee, a little bit of a shootout, and San Francisco dominating Green Bay.
That's a DraftKings lineup or a FanDuel lineup?
I was a FanDuel lineup.
I have an almost identical lineup on DraftKings. I have Mahomes, Damian Williams, and Raheem Mostert, Tyreek Hill, and A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel instead of Emmanuel Sanders. I have George Kittle at tight end. I have Jamal Williams as my flex. He's extremely cheap. He's kind of a dud that I'm putting in there. Look, he had almost no work, but sometimes we see that first game back after an injury. So
he had a great game against the 49ers.
That's a little bit of a Hail Mary. Oh, okay. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, I think he had, but, you know, when he had seven healthy, catches in that game.
Right, and I'm thinking they could be trailing here. So Jamal Williams, I don't expect a lot from him, but look, that could be the kind of play that makes you stand out. Nobody's going to want Jamal Williams and the 49ers DST. Jamie, your favorite lineup?
It's very similar. This is on DraftKings. I have Mahomes, Mostert, and Damian Williams. Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown. I have Kendrick Bourne as my third receiver. Jonnu Smith at tight end. Davante Adams at flex. And then the 49ers defense.
Looks like the 49ers defense on DraftKings. And Heath said the Packers defense on FanDuel, which is also what I have. All right, I think you all get a sense of who we like this week. So good luck in DFS. And yeah. Hope that was helpful. Let's read some emails to finish the show. From Kyle in Ohio. Dear Tevin, Raheem, Matt, and Jarek, what are you doing in Dynasty with the 49ers backfield? I currently have both Coleman and Mostert on my Dynasty team. Who would you rather hold, and what would you look for in a trade for each or both? It's a half PPR league. Heath, what are your thoughts on the 49ers running backs in Dynasty?
I appreciate the confidence in us, since like as an industry, we were wrong about this backfield on a weekly basis, like 8 out of 16 weeks. I'm sure we're going to know 3 or 4 years into the future. I prefer Coleman still the most of the group. He's a year younger than Mostert, who's already, I think, 28 years old. I think none of them were in my top 30. I just updated all my Dynasty rankings. They're on the site. You can go look. Breed is the one I think is a restricted free agent. So if they let him go, he's probably going to a team where he's in a backup situation again. It will all depend on his landing spot and then what happens to the guy in front of him.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kyle. Subject line, The Good Place. This is from Kevin in a town in the heart of Silicon Valley. So this is for Ben. Hey, Eleanor, Chidi, Tahani, and Jason. Did I say that right, Ben?
Yeah.
While Ben is not a pop culture maven, he is 100% correct on his take on The Good Place. An innovative concept with an amazing ensemble cast really makes this show a joy to watch. And I haven't even mentioned the best part, Blake Bortles references. Okay. Speaking of Jags QBs, how come Heath did not have Gardner Minshew on his all decade team? It's a great, great question.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably the best question or best email that we've gotten all year. It's a great show, and you guys should all check it out. Bortles!
You didn't answer the question, Ben.
What was the question? It was for you.
You were supposed to answer it.
I don't know. I don't know
because
how I didn't
Heath's
make
list
it.
Was perfect, and that would have been ridiculous is the answer.
You already admitted your list wasn't perfect, and you took Larry Fitzgerald off of it.
That's right. We had to make an amendment for it to be perfect. By the way, when Ben says this was the best email of the year, he's only talking about 2020. So, yeah, maybe that is the best, but not a lot of emails. This is from Jason. Dear Dream Team. All right, he writes a whole spiel here. You guys can read it, and if you think it's relevant, go for it. But he's in an 8-team dynasty league with his wife's family. Okay, would you trade David Montgomery for the 8th overall pick in the 2020 rookie draft? It's more of where would David Montgomery be in a rookie draft if he were in this 2020 class? I also have Miles Sanders, Tevin Coleman, Ronald Jones, and Darius Geis.
Yes.
I would.
Oh, wow. Really? I would not.
I mean, he had a poor... First of all, I haven't done a ton of rookie work, but a lot of people that I trust have and have said this is a very, very good 2020 class. But David Montgomery was not... the top pick last year. He was maybe the third or fourth pick in rookie drafts, and he had kind of a poor rookie season. So if you can reset that by taking an 8th overall pick, a first round pick that is in a much stronger class, might even be an equal talent, but that we haven't seen play yet and has, you know, the potential to be just an absolute star. Yeah, I would rather go at someone that is an unknown than David Montgomery. Yeah, he could still be great, but
I'd rather have Montgomery than an unknown.
If you were to redo the draft, rookie draft now, is he even a top 10 pick?
No,
Because he's behind.
Why would you rather have Montgomery than an unknown Heath?
He's behind Jacobs. He's behind Sanders. He's behind Singletary, right? I would think you have it that way.
I think I still have him one spot ahead of Singletary.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
His bad year was still like 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. He didn't have an awful year.
Oh, I don't think this is a David Montgomery's awful. I'm just looking at it from how many receivers from this past class would you have over him? Because I think A.J. Brown's better than him. I think Metcalf is better than him. I think Deebo Samuel's close. Terry McLaurin is close.
McLovin.
I'm getting to the top 50. Top 150.
You know, that's kind of, I think, it's like we're getting to 8, essentially. You know,
well,
Kyler.
This is kind of why I have an issue with it, right? Because his running backs for an 8-team, for a 12-team league, they're not very good. For an 8-team league, they're horrible. So I think you really need to be looking at running back. He's got Miles Sanders, which is great, but Tevin Coleman, Ronald Jones, and I guess Darius Geis could be okay, but that's an unknown. But for an 8-team league, that's pretty bad. So you really should be taking a running back in the first with your first pick.
So he could potentially get two of these rookies, though, because I'm assuming the eighth pick is not his.
But the eighth pick is probably not going to be that very high end running back. Like,
yeah, but you say that though. Singletary was a second round pick in most rookie drafts. Sanders fell, and I got Sanders in one.
But also, Daryl Henderson was probably like an 8.
Oh, there are plenty of good and bad examples both ways. I mean, you know, we were sitting here and telling people Paris Campbell, Mecole Hardman. I know Hakeem Butler for you at the end or you know around the draft process. You know, there was a number of guys that we talked about that failed.
Right.
You know, and that's just the nature of it right now. But I think this rookie cast, like Ben alluded to, it's fantastic. The wide receiver class is fantastic. So he may be looking at, he can get, let's say, because his running backs are so bad in an 8-team league, let's say he's in the top 3 picks. He can get one of the studs and then still maybe get two of the studs because there's going to be receivers that go in those first 5 or 6 picks as well.
All right, let's go to our next email here. It's from Jay, a.k.a. Mr. Waiver Wire. Pick one keeper in a PPR league. Aaron Jones in the 4th round. Cortland Sutton in the 6th round, Devontae Parker in the 6th round, DJ Moore in the 9th round, and Jameis Winston in the 13th round.
DJ Moore.
Yeah, it's DJ Moore.
Okay, yeah. Also, he sent this email a week ago. He said, my bold prediction is my Kansas City Chiefs knock off the Baltimore Ravens to go to the Super Bowl and win.
Jay.
You're wrong, Jay.
That was not even a bold prediction at the time. They were like the third most likely team to go to the Super Bowl at that point.
Yeah, and you got it wrong. It's, you know, it's the Titans. From Don, subject line, Lamar Jackson. I hope he does not develop a mental block about winning pressure-filled games. Great for the regular season, but the playoffs, not someone you could put your trust in.
Why did you put this email on the show? You want to set the bar low for the worst email that we received in 2020?
I guess so.
Lamar Jackson's younger than Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, everyone loves Joe Burrow.
And Joe Burrow won his playoff game, Ben, both of them.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson would have destroyed Division One this year. This is such an absurd thing to think about him at 23 years old.
I agree. I just wanted to get people all fired up. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good stuff.
You accomplished that.
I did. The Good Place sucks. Is that what it's called? The Good Place?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it sucks. Whatever. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you, I think on Tuesday, actually, because Monday is a holiday. We'll talk to you on Tuesday with a recap of the weekend and start talking about the Super Bowl a little bit. For Jamie, for Heath, for Ben, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you next time on Fantasy Football Today.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.